Shalom, man. For the very last time, I say these words. Welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Psalm 150. We arrive at the end, or the climax of the story of praising God. If we read the book of Psalms as a progression, then we've reached the apex of how to praise, how to sing that song the psalmist so desperately sought to sing throughout the Psalter. In Psalm 13, he says, Ashira la Hashem, I will sing to God. In 27, he prays to be able to sing. In 40, he thanks God for helping him sing. In Psalm 66, he adds the word Shir to the title of the psalm and seeks to sing out to the nations about God. In 76, Asaph adds his version of a song to God. In Psalms 95 to 99, all focus on not just humans singing out to God, but nature joining in to sing a new song. In 104, he says, Ashir el Hashem b'chayai, let me sing out a song in my life. In Psalms 113 to 118, Hallel are all sung. And Psalms 120 to 134 are called Shirei HaMa'alot, songs of ascension. Finally, Psalms 140 to 145 to 150 trade off between speaking about singing to God and then offering the song itself. But the final song, Psalm 150, represents the ideal song, the sublime expression of praising God in melody. What's in a song? Why sing? What is so great about singing a song to God? The finale of Tehillim is six short verses that speak of praising God in every way with every type of instrument. What are the unique gifts of song? Song includes emotions and feelings unbound by letters and words. Song is timeless. Song is an equalizer. All can participate. All can enjoy. Song draws on many faculties at once: auditory, intellectual, emotional, spiritual. Song resonates within people. Prophets use song in order to raise their spiritual levels. A song is inspirational, infinite, and universal. Finally, a song can unite disparate instruments or voices into a harmonious symphony of sound, melding unique individuality into an enhanced, sublime collective. Psalm 150 is a fitting conclusion to our book of praise, to the journey of one man, a nation, and the universe to experiencing God consciousness. Hallelujah, hallelu el bekocho, hallelu birkia uzo. Halu b'gvurotav, halu karov gudlo, halu b'tega shofar, halu b'nevel chinor, halu b'tof machol, halu b'minim v'ugav, halu b'tziltzele shama, halu b'tziltzele trua, kol haneshama, tehallel ya, hallelujah. Praise God in the sanctuary, praise Him in the heavens, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His exceeding greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the shofar. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with the tambourine and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and the pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 50 is unique in the Psalter. One word, hallelujah, praise Him, recurs all the way through the psalm in a perfectly parallel style. It even has the same rhythm in each of the first four verses of the middle section. Why all the parallelism? Why the redundancy? Also, does the final psalm instruct us to praise God with different instruments rather than being filled with praises of God? An analysis of the psalm will reveal how this is indeed the perfect way to conclude this book of praise. Poetry has many functions. One of its aims is for the form, structure, content, rhyme, and rhythm of the poem to elicit emotions from the reader. The medium of poetry allows the reader to experience the message being conveyed. Thus, each poem evokes a myriad of interpretations, some intentional, some unintentional, all, however, emerging from the special relationship between the poet and the reader. Some poems convey a complex web of emotions, tension, and anxiety on the part of the writer. The poem might reflect these emotions in its lack of uniformity, multiple ideas, and a choppiness which pervades the message. On the other hand, when one wants to convey a feeling of unity, simplicity, and completion, The poem might reflect this in an easy rhyme, parallelism, and consistent rhythm. Psalm 150 expresses the theme of harmony in both its content and its structure. Halu b'gvurotav, halu k'rov gudlo, halu b'tekesh shofar, halu b'neva v'chinor. Praise him for his mighty acts, praise according to its greatness, praise him with the sound of the shofar, praise him with the harp and the lyre. The book of Psalms takes us through a process of praising and blessing, pleading and confessing, thanking and expressing frustration at not being answered. The conclusion of Psalms must leave us with a completely coherent message. Let all praise God. Let us all praise God. There can be no alternate position, nor any room for nuances, double meanings, and the like. Not just Jews, not just the righteous, and not just the chosen, but all. Kol HaNeshama, every soul. All who breathe must engage in this holy endeavor. Commentators abound interpreting the word HaNeshama. Rashi, in his commentary on Tehillim, offers the simplest explanation. HaNeshama, all souls. Rav Hirsch prefers associating the word neshama with nishima, meaning breath, stating that one person should learn to praise God with every breath of life. Sidur Eitz Yosef sees a transcendence of souls in praising God. Souls in this world join together with souls in the world to come harmoniously to praise God, ushering in the climactic conclusion to the saga of humankind. Sidur Iyun Tefillah offers a unique interpretation which certainly calls into play the mystical aspects of biblical exegesis, a topic beyond the scope of this work. He writes that the word HaNeshama refers to all powers of the soul. What emerged from these and other interpretations are the multiple dimensions of thought when regarding who should praise, how to praise, and in what realm to praise God. Praising God with a song, one without specific words, but with an abundance of instruments, certainly drives home the point of a universal, homogeneous act of praise. Unlimited by words, the psalmist attempts to create a complete and seamless relationship between the author and the reader, both together prepare for the ultimate conclusion of this book of life. This is the Shir Chadash, the new song, alluded to in the previous psalm. This is the final praise which he yearns to be sung by all creatures who possess breath. Each individual offers a unique perspective. All souls together join in the sublime praise of God, and all of the soul ultimately participates in this endeavor. The overall message achieves a universal dimension. All of the soul, all of the souls, praise in this world and all worlds. Praise God, Kol HaNeshama, Tehallelah, Hallelujah. Why would universal praise be considered one of the ultimate acts of mankind? If we were to view it as merely a verbal exercise, then we would agree that God is in no need of, nor does he desire, acknowledgments, accolades, and commendations. Instead, we realize that praising God is an expression of our desire to acknowledge him. To say, God, I know you exist, I recognize you in my life, I'm aware of what you have done for me and for all of humankind throughout history. I thank you, I praise you, I encourage you, all those around me to do the same. Let everything and everyone praise you for eternity. This is the final song in Psalms, the final message of the philosopher king, and all the psalmists who wish to impart to the people both the desire and the tools to acknowledge the Creator. Concluding the Psalms in this way raises one's consciousness, readies oneself, and participates in the great mission of bringing consciousness to the world, God consciousness to the world. It started with one voice, Ashrei Ha'ish, praises the one person, and it ends with Kol HaNeshama, all souls. Perhaps that one Ish is none other than Abraham and Sarah, who call out to God as a lone soul in a polytheistic and pagan world. Perhaps the book of Psalms is the story of the Jewish people, learning that the message of Abraham and Sarah and attempting to multiply it exponentially such that one morphs into the soul or all souls. If so, the book records the arc of human history and the steps taken by creations to recognize and return to their creator. The story then is incomplete. We join in this book too. We learn from the past generation to praise, and we attempt to sing that song and teach the world this multidimensional song until all souls have learned it and live it. We join this journey and hope we pray that our song, our praise, strikes the chord with humanity, fulfilling the words of the prophet Isaiah, Ki malah ha'aretz de'at Hashem kamayim la'yam mechasim, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. I would like to thank my wife Hadley for encouraging me to take on this challenge. It's been quite intense, but extremely rewarding. I'm happy to announce that I'm in talks with several publishers about turning these lectures into a book, manuscript of which I already have. I hope to continue to plumb the depths of the Book of Tehillim and other books of Tanakh for many years to come. Thank you.